You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is my interview with the star from the film Irina's Vow, Sophie Melisse.
Do you know how one survives this sort of change? Destiny.
From now on, you'll be working to contribute to the German war effort.
Your name?
Irina Gut.
You will be in charge of supervising the Jews. Your survival will depend on that.
I have until July 22nd to make sure that this entire sector is Jew-free.
We have no place to go.
I saw a place where I can hide you, where no one would ever think of looking for you.
All right. I'm being joined right now, everyone, here on the Next Best Picture podcast by Sophie Melisse to talk to me about her latest role in Irina's Vow. Sophie, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing really well. Thank you so much. I want to first start off by asking, this is a project, obviously, that is dealing with a real life person who did a really remarkable series of acts. Can you tell me just a little bit about the weight that one feels when you're taking on a role such as that, that has impacted so many lives? And just for you as an actress, what's your mindset when you're approaching a role like that?
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of pressure, I would say, on my shoulders, because I'd never done an autobiography on someone before. And she's led such a tremendous, exceptional life that I just wanted to live up to the expectations, knowing that her daughter was going to watch the movie some of her friends. And I just wanted to give her story justice. So I made sure to reassure myself that I'd done the most research as possible. And I read the book that was based on her life. And I found a bunch of archives, which showed her in her 60s, and found some photos of her in her earlier 20s, and took on a dialect coach to help with the Polish accent.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you could have fooled me when I was listening to you in this. I was like, wait a minute, I know that she's not. Wait, hold on a minute now. I was like, but speaking of which, too, I remember the first time I saw you on screen 11 years ago with The Book Thief.
Yes.
And I just want to know, for you, when you put in the context from that time then up until now, same historical setting and such, what parallels or similarities are there, and how have you just changed, would you say, between those two projects?
Yeah, I think everyone tells me this. It's like the continuity of the Book Thief. It's like what Liesl would have become 10 years later, still saving people, still putting others' needs in front of her own. And so I just thought she shared such an inspiring stories, and so did Liesl. And I love that people will watch the movie and hopefully feel inspired and will want to change in order to become a better version of themselves. I definitely feel that I've changed a lot in the last, 10 years, 14 years now. Yeah, I think when I was doing The Book Thief, it felt more like day camp. Like this was all fun, and this is games, and I get to do this cool thing. And I still think I have this very youthful essence, and I love to play around on set the way I used to on The Book Thief, and I love to prank people and have fun. But I definitely think that I take my work more seriously, and I'm a little more aware of the impact that I can have by taking on roles like this specific one that have an important story to tell. And so I feel a lot more pressure and responsibility and a sense of having to pick my projects more wisely. But at the end of the day, I still see it as fun. It's still to me, it's going to work, but it's not really work. It's just so fun to get to live from acting.
Yeah. No, I completely hear you on that for sure. I used to act many, many years ago, and I get that euphoric sense that one gets when you either just nail a scene, or you can feel the chemistry between you and the other actor just seamlessly bouncing off of one another. But this is such also heavy subject material too, and you have a lot of scenes in this film where you're under such distress, and I was watching it, I'm thinking to myself, what levity do you provide to yourself? Because I imagine you have to give yourself some sort of a mental break from staying in this zone constantly. Like, what do you do between takes to kind of balance it out a little bit so it's not all doom and gloom?
I will say I'm not a very, like, method actor, so I kind of can tap out a character pretty easily. Like, as soon as they call cut, I'm like, oh, what's my snack? Like, what can I go get at Crafty? and I, the director on this, Louise Archambeau, is, like, the most playful. She has such a young soul, and we would have so much fun together. Like, between setups, we would, like, go in a corner, and people would have to be like, where is Louise? Because she was, like, had to be directing, but we would go and, like, play together in a corner and, like, mess around and tell each other stories. So she definitely helped at keeping a very, like, youthful and playful atmosphere on set. And my mom actually accompanied me on this project, which is so nice to have her around, because she's, like, my best friend. And on weekends, we would just, like, wander around the city and hang out and talk about anything but work. And so that also helps to have sort of, like, an emotional, like, relief that's around me at all times.
Yeah, that's great. You said city. You guys shot this in Poland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long were you guys out there for?
Like a month and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so were you, like, I mean, I imagine that you probably, because I'm trying to think right now. You're not in every scene, but you're almost in every scene of this movie, essentially.
Yeah.
From start to finish. So for you, did it feel like just like this mad sprint of the shooting days over the course of a month and a half?
Oh, yeah. It was like I was always working. There's not a moment where I'm on weekends, but then on weekends I was so exhausted that all I could do was go walk and then go back home and sleep. I would basically go to my, like, it was so weird. I felt so disconnected from life on that project because I was I was on different time zones. I would never be able to FaceTime my friends or my family.
Yeah.
Because I would work when they were up. And then I was working such long days and coming back. I remember this one night coming back at like 2 a.m. and it was a Friday night and I was in the car and like people next to me were like partying and I would go back to the hotel and it was like a Friday, you know, people are like out and having, and I was like, wow, I don't even know what day of the week it is. It's just, I forgot that there's like a social life outside of this. Like I forgot that people party and I forgot people go out for dinner. I was like, I'm just like work, sleep, weekends. I'm like, maybe find the energy to go for a walk and a coffee and then learn my lines for the rest of the week. So it felt like just a weird month and a half, like hype, like super condensed work mode. And then it took me like I got really sick when I wrapped, actually, like literally the day after. I didn't even go to, like, I barely went to the wrap party because I was just like so sick from exhaustion.
To all of our listeners of the Next Best Picture podcast, we know you love movies. We do too. Do you like going to the theater? Well, Regal Unlimited just makes sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just 2 visits. See any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you won't just save money on tickets, you'll also save on snacks. Members get 10% off on all non-alcoholic concession items. So if you're planning to see 2 movies this month, just 2, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. That's regmovies.com/limited. And you can tell them Next Best Picture sent you with the promo code /RegalNBP24. That's /RegalNBP24.
You act opposite a number of, dare I say, terrifying men in this movie. Some really tension-riddled scenes where I was thinking to myself, I know it's all make-believe, obviously, but was there ever a moment where somebody's performance, like, really sunk its way into your soul and you thought, oh my God, like, this is intense right now?
Yeah. I mean, they were all so good. They all brought very different elements to the movie, and they all impacted me in different ways. I think I loved Andrei's performance, who plays like the other sort of servant. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he brought a very caring, nurturing, like calm element to the script. Yeah. And I think he has like some of the best lines in the script, like when he says sometimes survival means serving dessert, and that line strikes me every time. And it feels like the scenes with him, because they're not like action driven and you're not like scared, are just like little moments of stillness in the movie. And I just think he would do, he had to do so little. And it just, there's something about his performance that I felt like when I was acting alongside him, I would just really just sit and listen and observe and would kind of like lose myself in the moment. And yeah, he was really, yeah, fun to work with. I mean,
I was everyone. Gonna say,
DeGray is also great, but DeGray is also like, I felt so on the edge of my seat and like on my toes. And I was like, DeGray loved to like do every scene so differently. So it kept me on my toes all the time, because I was like, what direction is he going to take this in? When is he going to yell? When is he? And it was a different experience totally.
Would he give you like a heads up beforehand? Hey, I might try this, or leave it up to the moment, basically.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I loved, because it makes sense. I think Irina never knows how the conversation is going to go with him. She's always terrified of him.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious to know too, like you were mentioning before with Andres, he's such an accomplished actor in Poland. And I have to imagine that he gave you some bit of advice or just, I don't know, anything at all, like during your time working together. Do you recall anything like that between you and him where he shared a bit of that wisdom and experience with you?
I think it was mostly just like the energy that he brought to set. He just feels so at peace with who he is and where he's at. And it doesn't feel like he's chasing anything. And there's a sense of serenity that he carries with him, and this politeness with everyone. And you can tell that he's not trying to prove anything, but at the same time that he doesn't have any ego, or there's no sense of hierarchy. He's just there. He's grateful to be there. And I think that that's just an attitude that I, even if I reach a certain level of, I mean, if I become even more accomplished than I am, I just want to stay as grounded as he is. And I think it speaks to a lot of about who he is as a person.
Yeah. You've had a lot of like successes, I think, along the way here. I mentioned the Book Thief earlier, but then also there's your role in Yellow Jackets, which became a popular hit show. The Kid Detective is something that I knew flew under the radar, but goddamn it, I love that movie very, very much. And I urge everyone to watch it that's listening to this right now. But like, where would you say like Irina's Vow like stands for you right now at this stage in your career? Do you see it as a turning point? Is it just like, you know, another film? Like, how do you view it contextually?
I wouldn't say that I see it as like a turning point. I don't know. To me, I just see I don't try to like put any project on like a pedestal or see like this is going to improve or like my career. I just see it as like, I read the script, I love the project, and I want to be a part of it. And if it does well, great. If it helps me book something else, great. And otherwise, I know that the reasons why I chose the project were because I believed in the story or I stay true to myself in the decision-making. And so regardless of what happens, I will be proud. And so with this, I just think that it's such an inspiring tale. And I know that it's definitely changed me as a person in so many ways. So no matter how the movie does, or like if it's a big or smaller, but like whatever, I just see it as like the story to me was important and I'm happy I did it.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier too, like going back to what we were talking about earlier about, you know, really wanting to do right by Irina and her family and those that knew her. Do you recall since the film premiered at Toronto, anyone like giving you feedback on job well done, you know, that sort of thing?
Well, her daughter, Jeannie, was there at the premiere, as well as Roman Holler, who is the boy that the Jewish couple conceived in Haiti. And he came up to me and he was like, and they both came up to me and they're like, you are exactly like her. You have this sort of essence and you're bright and full of light. And that's the biggest compliment I ever could have received. So not to like be conceited and to like toot my own horn, but it was just a very touching moment to receive that information from the people that were closest to her.
Yeah, I can imagine. And as we like to end all of our interviews here, I would love to know, what do you have coming up next in the future? Or is there something that you particularly want to do next, a certain genre or anything along those lines?
Well, we're about to shoot the third season of Yellow Jackets, and I have this horror movie directed by Corin Hardy that's coming out called Whistle. And I just wish that I get to do as diverse work as possible. I would love to do comedy, which is very different from Irina's Vow. I did gymnastics, so I have a very physical background. And I would love to do like a Marvel movie, but I mean, everyone wants to do a Marvel movie, but yeah, I just want to have like a very diversified career. So yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get you into another Mission Impossible or something as a consolation prize or something. Yeah. Well, Sophie, thank you so much for your time today. I really, really appreciate it. And best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Take care.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to my interview with the star from the new film Irina's Vow, Sophie Nalis, here on the Next Best Picture podcast. Irina's Vow is now playing in select theaters from Quiver Distribution. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you'll get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you all so much for listening, as always, and we will see you all next time.
You've watched them in unforgettable adventures, love affairs, and tragedies. Now it's time to hear their own remarkable stories. From the makers of Death of a Rockstar and Death of a Sports Star, this is Death of a Film Star. Starring Heath Ledger, Marilyn Monroe, Chadwick Boseman, Robin Williams, Carrie Fisher, and Bruce Lee. Search for Death of a Film Star in your podcast app. You've seen them tell stories. Now it's time to tell theirs.